Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
We hope everyone's managed to recover from a successful outing this weekend on Halloween. I had plans, and boy, oh boy, have they spiraled out of control. It's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we have got a ton to get to today as we are coming up on the NFL's trade deadline tomorrow. A lot of teams that, based on what we saw this weekend, could now be sellers in the market. We could be dealing with the end of the Patriots dynasty, as writes our own Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com, who we'll talk to in a little bit. But, Jhené, did people trick-or-treat in L.A.? Was that a real thing that even happened?
I have no clue, because your girl stayed inside. Which, by the way, I would like to shout out our TV team, you know, Alice and Kimothy, because finally I see L.A. represented in our show intro. I don't know if you caught it. We got a nice scenic view. I knew it was not Bristol. I knew that was my city.
Yeah, you knew it was not Bristol because there was not snow on the ground or a windstorm going on outside.
It looked
right
like
now,
a summer today. Postcard on my side of the intro.
Yeah, we're going to see a more and more stark contrast between the two. Uh-oh. Breaking news.
I hate to do this, but we just received word from KB that that scenic's been in every open we've had. So.
Okay. There you go, Jhené. Great job. Very observant for everyone in our TV audience. Jhené Egbuemeke has not been paying attention to anything.
KB, you lying. I don't believe him. I've been watching. I have not seen that. No, I'm not. I refuse to believe it.
Wow. Very, very observant, Jhené. I appreciate your dedication to our TV open. I'm glad to see it means a lot to you, as does the city of Los Angeles, apparently, where you are not dealing with any trick-or-treaters. I overshot my my bargain here. I thought there were going to be about $300 worth of candies worth of trick-or-treaters.
What?
There was not, which means
Now
I have been steamrolling through fun-size
$300? Reese's. Okay, everyone hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. $300 on Halloween candy. Is that rational? Is that reasonable? Because what I feel is like you had an excuse to go buy candy to eat for yourself. That's exactly what happened.
Listen, I mean this truthfully when I say it. I did this out of fear. I don't want to be the house. I live in a very residential neighborhood, a lot of families. I didn't want to be the one house that was left out where kids knocked by and I had to hide inside and pretend like I wasn't home. And so I may have gotten a little crazy with it. I did not want to eat all this candy. I'm fat enough because of COVID right now. I don't need any more help on this. And yet, here we are, Jhené, because no matter what my intentions were, we got here. And now I am about, even today, I would say something around 40 small Kit Kats deep.
Oh my goodness. I feel like you bought only Godivas, not like Tootsie Rolls or Reese's. You probably bought Godiva chocolates, like each one $20.
I can confirm that I do not have it like that, nor would I want it like that, Jhené. I'm a candy of the people man around
okay.
here.
All right.
Godiva
All right.
are delicious, though, and I do have a few of those stored just in case. It is Jhené Egbuemeke Jr. here on ESPN
it's
Radio.
It's not Easter.
It is not Easter yet. We will get to that point in time in the candy calendar. But for now, we do have to get to some things from the NFL. And as Jhené mentioned, reminding you to be a part of Jhené Egbuemeke Jr. Nation on that Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. And it's official. College football is back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you. Treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. But Jhené, in the world of the NFL this weekend, we had a title fight, and boy, it lived up to every bit of what we could expect. Ravens-Steelers, Jhené, we mentioned, is one of those rivalries in the NFL that has sort of college-level bad blood to it. And we went out and saw a game this weekend that the Steelers won 28-24, where Lamar Jackson and Jhené, I feel people are going to wrongfully start to try and make this big game Lamar Jackson narrative happen.
Yeah, I agree, because, you know, I was the one who put him in the end zone. I was hoping that, hey, maybe through this game, you'd see it through the lens of, okay, like, this is a guy that still has parts to work on his game, but still, there's more good than bad. But, you know, the tough part here is that, you know, the Ravens had 4 fumbles, 2 lost, 2 interceptions, 4 sacks allowed, and 9 penalties for 110 yards. When you play a game and have those type of outcomes, it's going to be hard to overcome that type of situation. But yes, like, overall, I think a lot of people are going to go and jump into, like lean into the Lamar struggles with big games narrative. The big picture is I watched a game that was really good. And, you know, this is one of my first few tastes of actually getting to the nitty gritty of the rivalry. And it didn't disappoint. It came down to the final possession, literally. And so, yeah, obviously Lamar was disappointed. The Ravens were disappointed. But more so, I think it was about the Steelers and what they've been able to do this year as an undefeated team and seeing all pieces come together in a good way.
Yeah, Chiney, I don't think the Steelers are the best team in the NFL. I don't think they're the best team in the AFC, but I think they're the most resilient at this point because what we've seen from them in successive games last week, winning, despite having three turnovers in that undefeated matchup against the Tennessee Titans. Coming back this week after losing Devin Bush the way they did going into last week and seeing Robert Spillane step out in consecutive weeks, lead them in tackles against this Baltimore Ravens defense, that pick six early in the game on Lamar Jackson, and for their offense to really have reinvented itself the way it has this year with its quarterback going in the short area, using it as an extended run game, I think they look like the most resilient team in football and a great one, undefeated. Still, their head coach, Mike Tomlin, does not think that. Mike Tomlin, we didn't play well after the game.
We did not play well today. We lacked detail in a lot of areas. And when you're playing good people, man, you're going to be up against it when you don't play good. We can't allow the emotions of the moment for us to miss that fact. I am proud of these guys. I am proud of their fight. I am proud of how they supported one another. But it's important that we don't lie to ourselves. We did not function well in a lot of ways today.
And, Chiney, Mike Tomlin is incredibly adept at dispensing that truth serum in the locker room. He's a very frank coach. He's not someone who's going to BS a ton. And so in this situation, I think even he realizes, all right, the way that we've won this year is by maximizing time of possession, by using our short passing game as an extension of our running game here, and relying on a defense that is like an absolute house of knives getting thrown at the other offense. Because I watched this weekend, Kansas City is still the cream of the crop. Now, I know it was the Jets, but we understand how that team can operate, and it is the perfect antidote to what the Steelers do so well.
Yeah, I saw that piggyback, and I was like, oh, that's cute. That's really cute. Yeah, I think the Steelers, this is one thing that a lot of people probably didn't count, and it really mattered this season for all sports. The teams that have a lot of their top players together, the teams that sort of have their established foundation and a lot of veteran leadership and also that youthful exuberance that can provide you energy and pockets, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, all that type of stuff, those teams succeed in seasons full of adversity, seasons with a lot of change. And you see the Steelers coming back healthy, considering, and now being able to maximize their talents consistently. Like, that's the thing that you want when you're dealing with a situation like this. This is why I would say, you know, we've kept saying it's not a question mark, it's not an asterisk, it's an exclamation point. And a lot of the Steelers, their success is predicated on them just being stable in a year where there's so many instabilities.
And where your quarterback is willing to be a point guard maybe more than he's been in the past, where Ben has been a playmaker for this team. The best days of him and Antonio Brown were when the play broke down, what they were able to do way beyond the line of scrimmage. And now it's been sort of a more dink and dunk offense operating quickly around the line of scrimmage with Juju Smith-Schuster, with Chase Claypool in this. And so for them, you mentioned being able to also sustain health. They lose Devin Bush. Cam Hayward, one of their defensive linemen, one of the captains on their team, limped off the field. Sounds like that injury is more minor. On the other side, the Baltimore Ravens are in a very interesting spot, Chiney. I think this is still a very good team who's working on the downfield passing attack to be great. But the guy, Ronnie Stanley, who they just paid a life-changing amount of money to be their franchise left tackle, unfortunately left that game with a pretty gnarly injury and looks like he is going to be out for the rest of the season. On a very personal note, Ronnie's a great dude. Really hoping the best for him. I'm really glad that he got that money before that injury took place. But he's a great guy who's still got an incredibly bright future ahead of him. This is, you know, a minor setback, but a huge deal for this team who had Marshall Yanda, maybe their best offensive lineman, retire this offseason, a Hall of Fame guard for them, and now is down their best offensive lineman currently in Ronnie Stanley going forward with Lamar Jackson, who has to get over this hump.
Yeah, I think watching, you know, Ronnie Stanley, that one hurt because we were just talking on Friday about how excited we were. Was he in Keep That Same Energy?
He was.
Yeah, we were so excited that we were like, keep that same energy. But this is why, you know, when you have athletes fighting for themselves in the sense of contracts and putting a sense of urgency to do it now in season, not waiting to the end of season or before the season or holding out, this is why. Because the security is just different, especially in this sport that is so brutal. So I am glad that at least we had that type of energy before this game, because now at least hopefully there's a little peace within knowing that, hey, I don't have so much pressure, even more pressure, you know, coming off of an injury.
Absolutely. Well wishes for a speedy recovery there, as both of these teams still going to be major contenders down the stretch, even if they stare up at the Kansas City Chiefs, which really isn't the worst crime in the world because they're great. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. But coming up next, by my count, we have tried to end the Patriots dynasty three times already at this point since Bill Belichick got there. Have they finally done it themselves? That's next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up about 10 minutes, I got to ask everybody a question. If you are willing to give up two game checks for an offense, what's the most punchable thing someone can do on a football field? Because, like, man, it is a lot of money for Javon Wims to be suspended two games for throwing a two-piece buddy's way after snatching up his mouthpiece. What is really worth that kind of action? I want to get to that in about 10 minutes. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star Shanae Agumake with us, who has shown in the past that when her sister was under fire by some rogue fan making it on the court, she was ready to throw hands. So I feel like, Shanae, the bar might be a little lower for your willingness to go out there and scrap.
About that action, boss. Yeah, it's way lower. Like, if it comes to family, oh my gosh, like, I lose my sense. So my teammates are always family too, but like, it just is a little different when it's your sister, it's her blind spot, someone's charging. I will take the charge for the team, okay?
See? That's the kind of love we want.
Okay, for you and your big family too, what would you do?
Oh, I would say, I was in the same boat. My brother and I played together all through high school, played together at Notre Dame. So, like, if you're fighting one of us, you're always fighting the other. Because it is interesting. Within a team, there's still something different about that person that's actually your flesh and blood for all the family stuff we do rightly say about teams.
Wait, were you the one that would, like, get into trouble and then you needed a defender? Or were you the one that was always running in to defend?
Always running in to defend. Jake was the troublemaker. Well, you know what it is? You know what it is, Chiney? Honestly, it was all of my any backup quarterback I ever played with was always the one that wanted to shout from behind the lineman at the bar, and then you would have to clean up their mess. So,
oh dear. It's like behind the whole rows of people. Because quarterbacks, let's be real here, okay? Like, we both have been in locker rooms. Quarterbacks will talk some mess, but then it's like they're linemen that literally are the first line of defense when you're in a social setting.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just something you don't take off. You know, it happens in real life and also on the field.
It is the code that we operate under, and it is the job we signed up for, to protect everyone on and off the field. That's the kind of love we got out around here. Now, it gets a little bit different. Like, I feel like as we're getting ready to talk about Cam Newton, that guy probably needs a little less defending because he is about as big as most offensive linemen or most defensive linemen out there.
Very true.
He is a very impressive specimen, but he's one we've seen struggling in the last couple of weeks, and Shanae kind of punctuated this weekend, as we saw in the NFL, the Patriots were in a familiar position against the Buffalo Bills, driving with a chance to go out and take the game. The Bills end up winning 24-21, in part because of a game-ending fumble by Cam Newton on that last drive. And so, it's so curious, as we've watched the last couple of weeks, we've had so many conversations about Cam Newton and what the future looks like for him. Now it feels like, and we'll talk to Bill Barnwell later on, who wrote a great piece on ESPN.com, talking about this, it kind of feels like we're at a real crossroads with the Patriots as a franchise at this point too.
Yeah, it does. But since we were just talking about being in locker rooms and knowing the real, I was just watching this final play where, you know, a lot of the criticism came from him carrying the ball on his right, where he was supposed to protect it with his left. And when I was, you know, taught basketball and still am taught basketball, we know not to have the ball in a position where the defenders can get it easily. You know, so if you're on the right side of the rim, you don't dribble with your left on the side of the defender. You keep it to your right so you can always use your body as a shield. And I'm sure, right, this is taught in football, right? Right, Junior?
Absolutely. Oh, there's the ball handling that's emphasized and constantly coached and critiqued is absolutely at play in that situation. Quite honestly, no one knows that more than Cam in that spot,
exactly,
too. And this is one of those instances where I look and say that Cam Newton's the guy you want with the ball in his hands 9 out of 10 times in those situations, especially with this current Patriots roster, and things just went wrong, which is kind of emblematic of this whole experiment with the Patriots at this point. Now, it did get us to a very hilarious place in Bill Belichick, which is always something we appreciate here. And since we enjoy translating coach speak for you guys, we figured we would help you out with this very intense, very in-depth Bill Belichick soundbite.
What some people say ain't always what they mean.
We all have a job to do. We're going to have to count on everybody to do their job.
Consider this a translation.
I think we're working at it, and we'll see where we're at on Sunday.
Coach Speak with Janae and Golic Jr.
Coach Speak's brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. And Janae, after that fumble that you mentioned, after some of the ball-carrying issues that we saw, and after the Patriots now starting a robust 2-5 on the season, Bill Belichick was asked, who's your starting quarterback going forward? This is what he had to say.
Cam's our quarterback. So it's been all year.
So, for anyone that might have been confused about the situation, and Janae, jokes aside, for a 3-second soundbite heard around the world, I think this is a reminder that a lot of that stuff that we heard about Jarrett Stidham this offseason was probably a little bit bunk, right? This whole idea that they were confident in him and didn't need someone else, because if there was something to look for in that situation, we would be looking for it right now.
Yeah, to me, that sound from earlier, you know, in the season was more so about setting the table for Cam to come in and be competitive and earn that spot and not feel like it was given. But the reason I bring up the whole ball carrying and the technique is because that firmly is on Cam. And a lot of it, you know, the struggles have been on Cam and his, you know, inability outside of the first three or so games to really show much more when it comes to offense and get these guys going. But I think like for 20 years, right, and we're talking about coaches and Bill Belichick, you had a coach and you had a quarterback that were really in sync, okay? So much so that they could mask each other's mistakes. But now those mistakes are being exploited, and you're seeing how hard it is to be in a situation as a team when you're the Patriots where, okay, you don't have a top-tier quarterback. You have a decent quarterback. Think about how hard it is for all the rest of the NFL. Like, now the dynasty conversation is saying, oh, is it over? Well, not necessarily. This is the beginning of what we've seen as a struggle. 4 losses in a row, that is not normal for the Patriots. But what is also not normal is that they have a new quarterback. They have a quarterback that has completely different strengths. And so, yeah, that will come with change. I just think that we didn't anticipate the change to be like an avalanche of change, going from the opt-out to players not necessarily wanting to be there, listing their houses, and like Cam getting coronavirus, and like people not, you know, there's so much going on. It's not just one play, even though that one play did end up not getting you an opportunity to win.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Janae, one of the things that's come out of this is this renewed conversation around, ever since the Tom Brady divorce, it's looked clearer and clearer that Tom had more to do with this than Bill. People have been waiting to roll one way or another on this, and it's ridiculous. If you want to understandably criticize some of the moves that Bill Belichick, the GM, that the Patriots franchise have made in the first and second round of their draft picks, dealing in trades in the way that they have and getting the most out of those acquisitions at the time, I'm willing to entertain that conversation. But if we're merely trying to say that, yes, if Tom Brady were on the Patriots this year, we'd be dealing with a markedly better situation, I think that's ignoring the glaring fact. Bill Barnwell pointed this out. There were 32 players that played at least 25% of the snaps in the Super Bowl against the Rams. 12 of those players suited up on Sunday for the Patriots between free agent losses, guys that opted out because of COVID and injury. You have had a host of Patriot players change over on this team. It's too much change to absorb for a franchise that, I understand, we're talking about them in the Super Bowl there, but talent-wise was already trending in a direction that wasn't going to be sustainable. So, yes, the future may be under fire, but that doesn't mean we get to rewrite the past when it comes to the way that we look at these two in particular, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And of course, Janae, we will get to in a little bit, I have enjoyed the former New York Jets coming out to party with the takes on this one. We'll get to that in a little bit because it has been exciting. But how, coming up next, how much is a two-piece really worth to you? We got to figure out what you're willing to put it on the line for after this word from DraftKings. There's no better place to get in on all the football action than with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings is a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and use code CJR. For a limited time, new users are going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code CJR, going to get you a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes, all with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., very humbled right now. Janae Agumake with us, a much better dancer. I've really missed out on like every TikTok dance craze. Like Janae, I don't know about you now. Are you dialed into the TikTok scene at all? Because I get all of my information secondhand through our producer, Devin. He is my sole provider of TikToks out here. He is activated in the community, respected on the Reddit pages. So he's my plug for all of this. Do you get it straight from the source?
I don't know if Devin is your source on TikTok, if that means you're living your best TikTok life, because I know Devin's bag is NFL Reddit.
That is true. Devin is deep in the Reddit streets here, but at the same time, I gotta say, his TikTok stuff is good. It's good. It gets me through the day.
I mean, where I need to be on that group chat.
That is true. Well, listen, we gotta get you hooked up again. I know a guy. His stuff, it's good. It's good. We can trust him. So we got you on here. Devin has got the TikTok.
I'm pretty sure our feeds would look probably completely different. So I will open my TikTok world to you and you open your TikTok world to me.
There we go. See, people helping people. That's what everyone wants. This is the sense of community that we like around here. Everything's good right now. Everything was not good during the Saints-Bears game right now. Janae, I have not seen the timeline as collectively confused. And that's saying a lot because we all know what's going on this week. But I have not seen the timeline this collectively confused in a while, as they were watching Javon Wims, wide receiver for the Bears, throw a two-piece the way of Saints DB CJ Gardner-Johnson out there on the field. Did you watch that, and what was your reaction in that moment when you first saw it?
I watched it, and I was flabbergasted. I was like, why is this happening? Way after, it's not like you saw the provocation in that moment, in that play, which, you know, is a whole different conversation about how long do you hold on to grudges or possessions that you don't like. And athletes will hold on to them until they play you again, meaning like you could hold on to a grudge until next year and you see somebody else. So I wasn't surprised that this happened. I was just like, why? I don't get it. Like, going for the like, it doesn't make sense. Like, making punches with people wearing helmets and waiting for them to like get that you punched them and then punching them again. I was confused, big confused.
Janae, I'm glad you brought that up because we have two things to get to, an important reminder and an important question. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. More than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. The reminder is punching people with a helmet on is always dumb. You're always more at risk of breaking your own hand than you are of doing any meaningful damage. Attack underneath the chin where the soft stuff is.
Okay, we don't condone violence, but...
No, yeah, we don't condone violence, but if you're going to get a fight on the football field, up underneath the chin, aim for the torso here. Like, fight smarter, not harder in these situations. Day one training camp stuff. Number two, Janae, I have to ask you a question.
Oh, sorry, and speaking of uppercuts, shout out to Javonte. Was that this weekend?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Uppercut?
Big time uppercut city in the ring this weekend. We saw a lot of that going around here. And in that one spot, that is the appropriate place for an uppercut. The football field, not an appropriate place for it here. And Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, is understandably upset when we look at the reason. And so I'm going to play you this sound from Matt Nagy talking about what he saw from the fight featuring Javonte Wims. And then I'm going to ask everyone in here a question because I think it's important that we establish this framework.
I'm just going to continue to go back. I am really, really bothered by that third quarter incident. That bothers me. I'm being completely honest with you guys. It bothers me. But I am proud of the guys that played hard. I'm proud of the guys that were selfless and tried to do everything they could to help us win.
So, Janae, I look in that instance, and upon further review, what appeared to happen is earlier in the game, it appeared that C.J. Gardner-Johnson came up to Javon Wims and snatched his mouthpiece off. He got one of those binky mouthpieces that hangs from the helmet, snatched it off on him earlier in a play. As you mentioned, sometimes there are long memories. This case didn't take much. So you saw when he went out there, that first little swipe was to grab the mouthpiece, and then he gave that little paw, kind of like when a puppy comes up to you, like he's looking to play with you, and he gets down into his little stance, and he wants to do something. And then it was full-on swinging on that after he attempted to re-grab the mouthpiece in this. So he did all of this because someone else snatched his mouthpiece. And so I ask you and everyone else on this show, what slight on the field, on the court, is worth a two-game suspension to you? Because I feel like we know where there are lines that get crossed, and I don't feel like mouthpiece snatching is necessarily one of them. Janae, you are a current professional basketball player in the WNBA. We have talked about you defending your sister's honor on the court before, so I feel like I know one line, but is this, in your mind, a two-game suspension-worthy offense, losing two game checks in order to go and defend the honor of your mouthpiece, or do we need to raise the bar some?
I think we need to raise the bar a lot. For one, okay, if you come at my sister, you come at my sister, that's worth two games for me. I'll take that.
Easy hands.
If you pull my hair,
ooh,
that's worth two games. I just don't like that.
Fair.
And three, if you intentionally try to trip me.
Oh, wow. All right.
If you're trying to trip me and like it's blatant, not like one of those things that happen or you just barely did it. Like if you did, that sets me off. So those are my three offenses, which, by the way, I wanted to sort of get into this really quick. Was there like an allegation of spit, or was it just the mouth? You know, because people said like he spit or something.
So, wait, Devin, was there an allegation of spit? Because I missed this portion of my research.
Yeah, Wims accused him of spitting on him earlier in the game.
Which, oh, the reason I asked Dev about this, producer Dev, is because in this climate, if that has any, you know, modicum of truth, I would be mad.
Yeah.
I would be mad.
You know what? In normal circumstances, spit is like, to me, that's like the ultimate one, because we've heard and seen the discussion before about chain snatching that's gone on the field. Spitting, to me, is the next level of anything. It's the height of disrespect. And as you mentioned, in the midst of a global pandemic, seems like the most unearthly, unhealthy thing you could do out there in a football field, which is saying a lot.
And the last time we saw spit happen and people react, wasn't it the Clippers? Wasn't that the tunnel gate? That all came from that type of action that happened between players. So if that did happen, if there's any truth to that, I can see why that sets you off.
Worth noting. In the court of public opinion here, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has denied said spitting allegations, and so we wait to get to the bottom of this. But, Janae, I am with you. Spitting is at the top of that list. I would say for me, sort of what we saw with Andy Dalton, where he was taken out on a hit like that, that's probably a hit that if you're a guy on that team, it's worth getting the suspension going the other way in defense of your quarterback there. There are very few other instances, like you said, outside of defending your own flesh and blood on a football field that can come up in that spot that are worth two game checks in a lot of instances. Sometimes it's best to handle that thing elsewhere. Which brings us to the final point. You always got to know who's on the other side.
Facts.
Because there are some people that you don't truly want to mess with. That you got to think twice about what's going to happen there, because there are two kinds of people. There are people that are going to fight you on the field, and there are people that are going to find you at the bus after. You've got to know the difference when you step into that situation here. So we will make sure everyone knows the difference in that going forward. We'll keep trying to get to the bottom of what happens here. You can respond at Chenea, at Mike Golic Jr. What is worth a two-game suspension when it comes to throwing hands on the field for you? At Chenea, at Mike Golic
Jr. I would like to say that, like, those fines in the WNBA, the reason why I would say hair pulling and tripping, they were probably like about $1,000 or like maybe 500 to 1,000. So like, it's not hitting the same as two NFL game checks. I'm a little saucy with it.
And you got it like that. So it's, you know, that's calm that part's down. Nice too. Can't hide money. Coming up next, we're dealing with another, and I think potentially developing story about COVID-19 in the NFL, and it's a big game week around here, and I'll tell you why I'm already getting nervous. That's next after this word from ButcherBox. No one likes to actually go to the grocery store. God, I have never identified with a statement more in my life, especially during the holidays. That's why there's ButcherBox. ButcherBox is going to ship high-quality meat conveniently right to your door. From free-range organic chicken to heritage breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat to choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. I just got a box. It is incredible. I was in the kitchen this weekend whipping up steaks. I am ready to go developing my winter body. It'll be thick. And for a limited time, ButcherBox is knocking a big to-do off of your holiday shopping trip by giving you a free Thanksgiving turkey in your first box when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/CJR. That's ButcherBox.com/CJR. Back after this, Chenea and Golic Jr.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Big news out of the NFL for a couple of teams on the COVID-19 front that we're certainly going to get to here in a second. a shocking stat about the Green Bay Packers and what they've managed to do despite that surrounding area. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell, Pennzoil, Performance Line. But, Chinay, you know this. You're still an active WNBA player, so you're getting actual, like, pregame jitters when they come up, big moments and all these things. I've been relegated back to being a fan, and it is hellish. Like, I did not realize what I signed up for in this. Because it's Notre Dame-Clemson game week now. Clemson officially got away from their scare against Boston College. Notre Dame took care of Georgia Tech. They're both undefeated. And we know the big story in that one that we'll get to in about 10 minutes. Trevor Lawrence not going to be on the field, which has everyone selling Notre Dame fans the dream right now, and it terrifies me. I can't stand people peddling in this kind of hope right now when I just want to sit here and realistically talk about this game.
So the comfort zone for us as athletes and even fans of certain teams is to be the underdog. And then when last minute you're switched to, oh, you're expected to win. Yeah, that's when you get nervous. I do still get nervous even though I play, you know, because everyone says that's a normal feeling for an athlete. Like you go out there, that means the stakes are still high. You're competing. You want to be there. Get nervous, but you deal with it. Like once the ball gets tipped, it's gone. Like you start hooping. I have never been more nervous than when I was watching my little sisters play at Rice University.
Yup.
Ever. Like, I don't know how my parents did it with four of us for so many years. Your parents the same way. I felt like my heart was out there looking at my little sisters trying to make it to the NCAA tournament, which they did twice, by the way. But man, that process. So I get what you're feeling as a fan, whether it's your family out there or just one of your teams. Yes. But I feel for you, especially this week, because everyone's like, okay, Notre Dame. This is your shot to rework some history here. How do you feel about all that coming up?
Nervous, because everyone keeps saying you're doing it against their backup quarterback like he's not a 250-pound five-star that went out there and won that game with 350 yards in that game. And the one thing people keep missing is the two-time ACC Offensive Player of the Year still resides in that backfield. Travis Etienne is still a problem in there. I think, and as the week goes along, we'll get into plenty of reasons on how Notre Dame can actually win this game still and what it means for the larger college football landscape for both of these teams. But right now, at the beginning of the week, I'm allowing myself to be very human, knowing that if I were in that locker room, I'd be ready to go, thinking we're going to beat the brakes off of these guys, thinking we are every bit of their equal. And on the outside, I'm like every other fan of a team that hears the national landscape talking about them. I get very nervous when people are saying nice things about us.
I don't blame you for being nervous. It's okay. Maybe the nerves will bring out the best in the Fighting Irish. Okay, this is the one weekend where we can at least be biased, I guess, here this weekend with the game. Now, I think it's interesting because coming out initially with this news that Trevor Lawrence will be out, I think was them getting ahead of the curve and just pretty much allowing their team to prepare, not thinking that this is something that could potentially be up towards the last minute. Like, no, this was smart. Now we're seeing with the NFL, there are a couple of situations, right, with COVID that now seems last minute. It's like, oh my goodness, could this be worse? Is this good? It just seems like, you know, Adam Schefter came on last week and was like, well, they're going to still forge ahead. But when you see things like this happening, and I think you're going to tee it up, it sort of makes you think like, ooh, this is so hard to manage.
Yeah, so we had a lot of COVID-19 news coming out in the last day or so from the NFL. Like you mentioned, they have shown they're going to charge on ahead, but now we're getting into some of those instances where you're starting to wondering when and how things are happening. So let's run through a couple of them on this. Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Cliff Kingsbury confirmed that two Arizona Cardinals tested positive for the coronavirus. Even when they were off, they were still testing throughout that process, and so they had this finding at the time. This is, and it's not to downplay, there's no, you know, better or worse in all of this, but these might be more pressing at the moment. Baltimore Ravens cornerback Marlon Humphrey tests positive for COVID-19. He played 53 of Baltimore's defensive snaps in Sunday's loss to Pittsburgh. The Steelers announced that all of their COVID-19 results from Monday came back negative, but the team will begin following the NFL's intensive protocols because, remember, when we went through this with the Titans, we saw this is a process that took a few days. Every day you're checking and waiting to see that. In that case, it was the Minnesota Vikings who they had played that they didn't have any positives on the other side. So another big hurdle for the NFL to overcome there. But, Chinay, this is the one that jumped off the page.
And the context behind it, the layers behind it, actually made me a little worried, too, because he missed practice Wednesday with an illness. And then he practiced fully on Thursday and Friday. And then again, in the loss, he had 53 snaps, as you said. So now it's like, you know, when does this virus really show up as a positive? You don't know. But at least now, you know, figuring it out is important. It just seems so hard to manage these one by ones that are happening. And this is coming, you know, after last week, the Texans luckily, fortunately on their bye week had to shut down their facility. So this is something that's still evolving and ongoing. It's just tough to see them react to this in real time because it's like, you can't predict it. You really can't.
No, you can't. The Green Bay Packers also dealing with a positive with A.J. Dillon, who played 10 snaps in that case. And more context around that that we'll give you later on what Green Bay is up against in that area in particular, as it's hard to outrun the outside world in a lot of this. But we talked about the Clemson matchup with Notre Dame. And coming up next, we'll get into why Dabo Swinney did was right on a lot of levels announcing this. That's all coming up next on Chenango Jr.